Bon voyage, QE2.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Jeremy Hobson. Today is the last day of June, which means it is the last day of the Federal Reserve's $600 billion bond buying program known as Quantitative Easing 2, or QE2 for short. The program was meant to boost lending and spending by injecting a lot of cash into the economy, but has it worked? And will we miss it when it's gone? Let's bring in Bruce McCain, who is chief investment strategist at Key Private Bank and who pays close attention to the Fed's every move. He's with us from Cleveland. Good morning.
Good morning.
So are we going to be okay without this QE2 bond buying program?
Well, I think we're going to be okay one way or the other, but we have to raise a lot of money to cover the federal deficit by issuing bonds, and we'll have to see what the lack of a QE program does in terms of interest rates. If those rise too much, the Federal Reserve may have to respond.
You mean other investors are going to have to step in and buy bonds where the Fed had been buying up Treasury bonds before?
Exactly. And typically, you need higher rates to attract people to invest with you.
Well, do you think that QE2, looking back on it now, worked? Was it a success?
That's a good question. It certainly helped to cover the gap in terms of money that we weren't getting from other parts of the world or from private investors. But it likely also had an impact in raising commodity prices and fueling the fires of inflation. So I guess everything comes with good and bad. It had some beneficial effects, but it caused us some problems, too.
Bruce McCain, chief investment strategist at Key Private Bank. Thanks so much for joining us.
Good to be with you.
We'll add another online company to the list of companies that might go public this year. This time, it's Living Social, the big daily coupon website. All these IPOs have some people talking about a tech bubble, but Marketplace Economics correspondent Chris Farrell says there are other bubbles that we should be paying attention to. He joins us now. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Jeremy.
Well, give me the latest from bubble land. Chris, what are you watching for?
As the kids of boomers go off to college, I just want to paraphrase Shakespeare. They'll be reading Shakespeare. Maybe I'm going to abuse Shakespeare, but it's bubble, bubble, toil, and trouble.
Yeah.
Here's what's happening. You know, over the past quarter century, tuition and fees risen three times the rate of individual family income. And we've been making up that gap more and more, particularly when it comes to private independent colleges and public universities with debt. And I got to tell you, Jeremy, the lesson of the past several years is too much debt, too little income equals financial trouble. College education will still pay off in the future. The question is, how much debt do you use to finance it? And I think people need to retreat from that. That bubble is going to burst.
So maybe a bubble there with the boomers having driven up the cost of college, and now it might come down. What other bubbles are you watching, especially when it comes to the boomers or their kids?
Well, I think we've seen two other bubbles about, they may burst. Retirement for everyone. Social Security, Medicare, buy that RV, head down south. What is the lesson of two bear markets and two recessions in less than a decade? It's that you're going to work a lot longer. Hmm. Forget the RV, get yourself back to work. Here's the other bubble. This bubble is when the boomers retire, we've been adding stocks. We've been buying stocks. We've been told to have stocks in our 401k plans. When we retire, we sell it and the stock market goes bust.
So you see these bubbles all busting soon?
The last one, I don't see. And here's why. 1 billion Chinese, they're going to buy our stocks. The Indians, they're going to buy our stocks. The emerging markets is going to bail out the baby boomer when it comes to their stock portfolios.
Marketplace Economics correspondent Chris Farrell, thanks so much.
Thanks a lot.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are up across the globe this morning. The London index up about 0.5% right now as Greece prepares for another vote, this time to implement the cuts that were agreed to yesterday. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow climbed another 72 points to close at 12,261. And here's a number for you, 68%. That, according to a new survey, is how many Americans aged 16 to 34 won't make a decision, including about which restaurant to go to, without asking friends or family first.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Reputation.com, protecting online privacy by removing your personal data from the internet and stopping unwanted mail. Reputation.com. And by MassMutual. offering business owners financial guidance for the long term. Information at massmutual.com. Coverage of the economy is supported in part by the Schuman Center for Media and Democracy.
News this week that the price of a Powerball lottery ticket will double from $1 to $2 come January. And strangely, lottery officials think that'll push sales up. Marketplace's Adrian Hill explains.
Lottery officials will also double the starting Powerball jackpot to $40 million and improve the chances of winning the grand prize ever so slightly from 1 in 195 million to 1 in 175 million. Alan Yando chairs the group that runs the Powerball lottery. He says higher ticket prices will mean bigger jackpots and...
Jackpots drive sales. The quicker that you can get to a jackpot that people feel is relevant to them, the more they're likely to play.
I asked University of Maryland economist Melissa Carney what she makes of Yando's reasoning.
It makes sense.
She says at some level, lotto players have a sense of the actual price of a lottery bet, the printed price minus the expected value. As the payouts increase, sales go up.
So on some level, people are behaving as you would expect, you know, investors to behave, right? Like buying more or investing more when the return is higher.
Carney says there's another value to lottery operators in attracting new players with high jackpots. Some people just keep playing. I'm Adrian Hill for Marketplace.
And finally, to the International Airport in Vancouver, which turns 80 years old next month. And to celebrate, the airport is holding a contest to pick a person who will spend 80 days in the airport and document the experience on Facebook and Twitter. They'll be able to find out the things we've all wondered about, like what happens to misplaced luggage. And there's a big perk involved. Unlike a stranded passenger, the contest winner will not have to sleep on an airport bench. They'll be put up in an airport hotel. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
At the Aspen Ideas Festival, experts air their savvy on global issues, but Aspen's a two-sided town.
One for people who are there for pleasure, for relaxation and rest and recreation, for the Aspen Music Festival, the Food and Wine Classic, those sorts of things. And there's another Aspen for people whose labor makes that all possible.
I'm Bob Moon. Dual Aspens, next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.